From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, the founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject which is sadly neglected in our day. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, My Choice is His Choice. The text, Psalm 47 and verse 4, He shall choose our inheritance for us. Our enemies would allot us a very dreary portion, but we are not left in their hands. The Lord will cause us to stand in our lot, and our place is appointed by His infinite wisdom. A wiser mind than our own arranges our destiny. The ordaining of all things is with God, and we are glad to have it so. We choose that God should choose for us. If we might have our own way, we would wish to let all things go in God's way. Being conscious of our own folly, we would not desire to rule our own destinies. We feel safer and more at ease when the Lord steers our vessel than we could possibly be if we could direct it according to our own judgment. Joyfully we leave the painful present and the unknown future with our Father, our Savior, our Comforter. O my soul, this day lay down thy wishes at Jesus' feet. If thou hast of late been somewhat wayward and willful, eager to be and to do after thine own mind, now dismiss thy foolish self, and place the reins in the Lord's hands. Say, He shall choose. If others dispute the sovereignty of the Lord, and glory in the free will of man, do thou answer them, He shall choose for me. It is my freest choice to let Him choose. As a free agent, I elect that He should have absolute sway. In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Fellowship of the Spirit, part of this series in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. His texts are 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. In expounding these passages, Dr. Cairns is first seeking to define the term fellowship by linking it to three English words: participation, partnership, and pleasure. As he's been explaining, believers in Jesus Christ participate in the benefits of the Spirit's work. The first instance of this participation is, of course, the new birth. It also applies to virtually every area of the Christian life: sanctification, assurance, prayer, service, and so forth. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Fellowship of the Spirit.
Over the weeks and months that have gone into eternity, we have studied one by one these saving actions of God the Holy Spirit as He applies Christ and His redemption to the heart. We have participated in the work of the Holy Ghost. By that I mean we have received the benefit. My friend, we want to stop there this morning. We say these things. We roll them off the end of our tongues as trite phrases. But when you stop to let it sink in, I, a poor, guilty, wretched worm of the dust, I, a sinner within a heartbeat of hell, I, a sinner who had built up every merit to go to hell, who earned the just displeasure of God, I have received received the grace of the Holy Ghost. I have received His gracious work in regeneration. He has quickened me and brought me to the new birth in Jesus Christ. He has given light instead of darkness. He has given life instead of death. He has brought me out of the tomb of sin into the glorious life and liberty that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have participated in His grace, for I have received regeneration. I have received sanctifying grace. What about His grace in revealing Christ? Some time ago I preached a message from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 on the most important work, the central work of the Holy Spirit of God. What is it? It is revealing Christ to the soul. It is making us see the things that are freely given to us by God in Jesus Christ. It is making us understand the union that we have with Jesus, so that God cannot treat with Christ apart from us, nor can He treat with us in isolation from Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. What a joy when the Holy Spirit came and opened our sin-darkened eyes to behold the Lamb of God. What a day it was when the Holy Spirit, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shined in our hearts. What a day it was when He showed us Christ. You know, a preacher could stand from now until the judgment day saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." You and I would have been as blind as the proverbial bat, and we would never have seen Christ had not the Holy Spirit come and imparted the sight to see the light. And then, of course, He has given us His benefit of assurance. Assurance is not make-believe. Assurance of salvation is not presumption. Assurance of salvation is not mere logical deduction. I have done this, therefore God has done that. Assurance at its highest and most glorious point is that mighty witness of the Spirit of the living God, whereby He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Surely we have received His sealing, His leading, His guiding, His power to pray, His power to live, His power to serve. We have participated in the benefits of the Holy Ghost, one, because we have received His benefits into our hearts and minds. And second, it goes even further than that. We have received this benefit. We have this privilege. We have been made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us. What does this mean, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost? It means participation in the benefits of the Spirit's work, and the Spirit's work makes us partakers of the divine nature. I have to confess that that is a text that has always, always fascinated me. I've often said that had the Holy Spirit not written that in the Bible, any mere man would have been afraid to say it. You think of it. We are made partakers of the divine nature. Now, again, I don't want to be over technical, but we do believe in inspiration. And there is the difference of one letter between the basic word here that we're dealing with in the divine, the word divine, and the word God. But that difference of a letter tells us a lot. Peter is not referring to the divine essence. We are not made part of God. We do not become little gods. We are not somehow absorbed into deity. the word that Peter uses is a word that peculiarly speaks of the divine qualities or the divine attributes. And what he's saying is we are made partakers of qualities that are truly divine. When you're saved, you are now spiritual. There is a spiritual nature there. Oh, we're still in the flesh, and the flesh lusts after sin, but we have a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And these divine qualities that we read of in Scripture, the qualities that we ascribe to God and the Bible ascribes to God, have a Spirit-given reflection in the believer. In other words, Christians are to be the mirror image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God works in sanctification to make Christians the mirror image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's often said that the only place the world can see Christ is in a believer. The missionary story now is hackneyed and trite, but it's also true. When a preacher went telling some heathens about the Lord Jesus and giving a description of his glorious person, their faces lit up and said, "Oh, he was through here last month." Because they had seen him in the beauty of one of his servants. The Spirit's work is to make us images of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. "But we all with open face, or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Here is the work of the Holy Spirit as he works in believers, as he teaches them Christ, as he reveals Christ to them in the Word of God. He does a wonderful thing. He starts changing them into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in the life of the true believer, there is a reflection. Oh, sometimes we have to mourn that that reflection is so obscured, but it's there. It's there in every believer, however dimly, however obscured by events or circumstances, it is there. The qualities of Christ are mirrored in the believer. We think, for instance, of the divine quality of wisdom. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom to a believer. A believer may be a fool in the eyes of the world, but I want to tell you the Holy Ghost has given him enough wisdom to flee from the wrath to come. Some of the greatest brains in the world are going to hell, while God has given a bunch of fools the wisdom to see the way of life and to take it. And of course, as I have indicated in former studies, that wisdom is peculiarly the ability to see the all-sufficiency of Christ and to see our complete acceptance in Christ. Now, we don't have infinite wisdom within us. We're incapable of anything infinite, for we're finite. Thank God we have the image, the reflection of that divine quality. We think of the power of God. There is an image of that in the believer. There is power in a believer's life. There's power, first of all, because the Holy Spirit is there. There's power that breaks the power of sin. There is power to overcome and take. temptation. There is power to serve the Lord in victory. There is power to pray, to prevail with God, and to overcome every foe of God and His gospel. Oh, we lament how little we know of the power of God. I want to tell you, a Christian knows something of it. If he has been saved, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That saving power is in his life. We think of the holiness of God. Perfect, infinite, spotless, changeless holiness. He says, I am the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I want to tell you, though Christians sadly are not sinless, it grieves every Christian's heart that he's not sinless. In his experience down here, nonetheless, there is a reflection of divine holiness. A Christian is a holy man. He's not what he would like to be. He's not what he's going to be. But thank God he's not what he was. What a wonderful change comes into the life when the Lord Jesus comes in. The Holy Spirit brings us to know holiness. And he continues to work holiness, as the Westminster Standards rightly put it, dying more and more unto sin, and living more and more unto righteousness. You think even of the justice of God. This has its reflection in the believer. The justice of God is God's holiness against sin, visiting a righteous attitude and action against sin. But what do we find in the believer? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11 talks about the Corinthians, and mind you, they had failed and faltered in many ways, but when they were faced with Paul's first epistle, when they were faced with their sin and what God thought about it, Paul says, what revenge you've taken on sin. What vengeance, with what a vengeance you have moved against sin. You see, there is in the believer even a reflection of the justice of God. Thank God there's a reflection of the goodness of God. In fact, the hallmark of the believer is love. Let us never lose sight of that. Sometimes when we hear people glorying that they are fighting fundamentalists, and I believe in being a fighting fundamentalist, as long as it's not fundamentalist I'm fighting, but they seem to too often become bitter. They don't have much of the sweetness of Christ or the love of God about them. There isn't much of the tenderness and the bowels and mercies that we have been talking about or reading about this morning. Oh, we are in a battle. But never forget that the mark of the child of God, especially in the church, is love. Paul said, if you can speak like an angel, and if you have faith to move mountains, and if you have courage to die as a martyr, it's nothing. You don't have love. Love for Christ. If you don't love Christ, you're not a Christian. If any man love not our Lord Jesus, let him be anathema. A love for Christ, a love for Christ's ones, a love for His truth, a love for His cause, a love for the souls of men. Oh, there is the reflection of the love of God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake, If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.